Who are here for your class assignment know that we don't always film and have bright lights on our practice, but we are trying to put together some materials for our new website, and so we want to have little bits of living beings practicing. We arranged. So today I'd like to talk about chanting. I don't think we've ever had a Dharma talk on the practice of chanting, and I think it's time we do it. Because there are some things to recognize about chanting as an opportunity to be wholly and fully embodied. Chanting functions in a number of different ways, and Zen has a really unusual habit of, or a tradition of chanting in monotone, which you may have been very, or a bit put off by when you first came, because in in so many other religious traditions, chanting is accompanied by melody. So everything in Zen, every aspect of formal practice is prescribed and is pointing us back to this moment. It gives us an opportunity to do things, to do everything together in stillness and in activity in a particular way, so we don't have to be picking and choosing just for this period of time, so that we can have an experience of complete diving in. And chanting is one of the things we dive into in formal practice. So we begin by realizing that when we chant sutras or any of the chants, one of the things over and over again, as we do, the chanting service that we did today, we've done every Sunday. We do a more elaborated version of it on Thursdays. And it's one way of teaching the content of the sutras and the dharanis. I'll talk about dharani a little bit more too later. But what happens is we chant it over and over, and it gets into our breath body, it gets into our mind, and we learn it by heart. And so, and I think to point out that phrase, learning it by heart. Once we have it by heart, then every time we chant it, it can come straight out, and the mind does not have to be engaged. And we can fully penetrate and really step thoroughly into the embodied teaching. It comes alive for us. And it also is part of our inner lore, so that as we go through our activities of life, phrases pop up from the sutras, and they light up our experience. In a way that we could become very accustomed to experience and not notice a lot of things, but when we have these chants in our hearts and in our bodies, they really help us clarify our life and help us be thoroughly present. So why do we chant in this monotonal way? Actually, since the chants have in the last 20 years, they've evolved so that there is a certain chance that we do chant in a monotone, and others that there's some tune to. So today we'll together be chanting some chants with tunes and some monotonal, and we've already done some monotonal chanting. So in the Hindu tradition, and in the Christian and Jewish and most spiritual traditions, melody is used. One of the things that it does is it lures us into scripture, into the teachings or the stories of our origins, and into the instructions of how to be human or how to be a person of faith. And the melody elicits a state of heart and mind that is a bit different from silent prayer. It stirs our emotions and brings up this primal sensation of devotion. There's something very nutritional about having a moment of devotion coming forth from our hearts. Devotion, gratitude, faith, exaltation. These are all qualities of experience that extend us way beyond our individual, our usual, ordinary, individual way of experiencing ourselves in the world. In traditions other than Zen Buddhism, the divine is personified in various ways. So it personalizes, this personalizes the experience of being cradled in an enormous order, cradled in eternity, cradled in infinity. Whatever the being is, or the beings. And certainly in Buddhism we have a whole panoply of the heavens are filled with bodhisattvas and personified images. But in Zen, no. We just have the teachings of human beings who have practiced and become fully liberated from all of the habits of mind and speech and behavior that create suffering. It's a very human-centered offering. And the experience of enormity, vastness, eternity, we are encouraged to practice so wholeheartedly that we directly open into that experience. And we can only know our life in this personal way. We only do know this our life in this personal way. So music and melody opens up the container of our life and tunes our divine ear. So our ears are way open to the most intimate whisperings of experience of life. So I come back to why do we do this monotonal chanting? And it is rather like everything else in Zen, which is when you don't even have melody to drop into from an emotional place, it's a very plain and simple, wholehearted, vibrational, full body practice. And really, you know, it's effective when approached that way, quite so. So we approach our sutras and the teachings in a very direct, it's all about direct experience, and gaining confidence in our ability to be whole and complete, enormously beyond our own narrow sense of self. So let's look at, compare some different ways of chanting. First we're going to recite, and then we're going to chant the chant of boundless compassion. And actually, we lost somebody, our makugyo player. Let me grab the Makugyo and give it to Pam. And the Makugyo is our walker to set the pace of our chanting. Some chants are slower, some chants are faster. It's also something to listen to because it has quite a wonderful sound to it, the hollowness of it. So let's chant page 28, the chant of boundless compassion. And you want to start it for us, Tom? Oh, no, actually, we're first going to recite it. So we won't, let's see, I don't think that we should do Makugyo for the recitation.
Right.
Let's just experience just reciting it together. So chant, chant of boundless compassion. Begin.
Absorbing sounds awakens a Buddha right here. This Buddha, the source of compassion. This Buddha receives only compassion. Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, just compassion. Thus the pure heart always rejoices. In the light recall this, in the dark recall this. Moment after moment the true heart arises. Time after time there is nothing but this.
So was that, for those of you who've chanted this many, many times, was that a bit different of an experience?
Yeah.
So here's a just this. Not good, not bad, not less, not more, but different. Now let's try chanting it one time through with the Makugyo and the usual way that we do it. So this will be monotonal, brisk chanting. And notice the experience of this.
Absorbing world sounds awakens a Buddha right here. This Buddha, the source of compassion. This Buddha receives only compassion. Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, just compassion. Thus the pure heart always rejoices. In the light recall this, in the dark recall this. Moment after moment the true heart arises. Time after time there is nothing but this.
Was that a different experience? What are some ways you would describe what's different about that?
More physical.
It's more physical?
You can feel resounding in the chest. You can feel the vibration going through your body.
Vibration.
It more just happens. It requires less thought. I found myself having to actually think of what the words were when we were reciting, whereas the chant is just sort of coming out and flowing on its own.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Was it more pleasurable? Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Was it less pleasurable for anybody? So that's another thing to notice is, you know, kind of the pleasure that comes from it. I mean, everything in Zen practice helps us become more and more present to all of the minutia of our life, how we experience our life, opens it up, and that's what this is all about. So it's really interesting to do our chants differently every once in a while. So I'd like to consider this quote by Hakuin Zenji, who was the 17th and 18th century Japanese monk who revitalized koan practice, and he taught hidden practice and scrupulous application. Those were some of his phrases. So here's a quote. Somebody asked him, "What is hidden practice? What is hidden practice and scrupulous application?" And he says, it certainly doesn't mean sneaking off to some mountain and sitting like a block of wood on a rock under a tree, silently illuminating yourself. It means immersing yourself totally in your practice at all times, and in all your daily activities. Walking, standing, sitting, lying down. Those are the four postures for meditation, huh? Washing dishes, opening the car door, changing the oil, mowing the lawn, answering the phone. All daily activities. Hence, it is said that practice concentrated in activity is 100, 1,000, even 1,000,000 times superior to practice done in a state of inactivity. Concentration, hidden inactivity, is what we're practicing when we're chanting, is what we're practicing when we're awake, is what we're practicing and how we're living when we're enlightened. We are always completely present. So we practice concentration hidden in activity and concentration hidden in stillness. So when we're doing a still meditation, which is one reason why part of the Zen method is to sit completely still. How often do we experience utter stillness? So it just expands the field, a field of awareness with working with stillness and activity. We explore both concentration and activity together. When we do this all together during formal practice, when we do walking meditation, when we do eating meditation, when we work, we do samu practice. Concentration in activity. So one of these practices in activity is chanting. So think of when, you know, the first time you ever chanted, like my confusion was brought into every aspect of practice for a long time. And part of it was, well, what am I supposed to be chanting? Am I supposed to be chanting something in unison with people sweetly and harmoniously? Or I'd go to a different group and they'd be like, shouting it out, you know, and other times way soft. So what is this supposed to about this? And that's a good thing to recognize. Yeah, we bring this supposed to just about everything in our life. And we bring it to the chanting too. There's no supposed to. Although I guess what I'm doing right now is saying, let it out, right? You're supposed to let it out. Well, maybe with this state of mind, with this approach, with this group, yeah, we let it out. But go to a different group, that's not going to be what goes on with chanting. Chanting in another group might be, it's all about harmonizing our energies with others. And actually, we'll do a couple of chants where that's the case. So again, it's so informative because it's true in life. We behave differently according to what the circumstances demand and our context demands. And sometimes, you know, wholehearted, let it out, and other times be very attuned to what's going on and fit in and support the group in whatever the tone is. So it's a practice concentrated in activity and in the body. That the vibration, so striking after we do the and going into the body from the thinking mechanism when we go from recitation into chanting. So making a pretty sound, and a pretty sound warms up the heart and opens the gates of the heart. So let's make a pretty sound together. Let's go to page 83, Chant for the Hungry Spirits. And this is a song, some of you may know it. Krishna Das does this chant. He uses a different tune from the one we use in the White Plum. But So, I guess I should. Can I have a book? Thank you. Let me grab a different one. So it goes like this. Maybe I should sing a line and then you sing it after me.
Okay.
The first time, and then we'll sing it together two more times through. Okay? Calling all you hungry hearts.
Calling all you hungry hearts.
Everywhere through endless time.
Everywhere through endless time.
You who wander, you who thirst.
You who wander, you who thirst.
I offer you this Bodhi mind.
I offer you this Bodhi mind.
Calling all you hungry spirits.
Calling all you hungry spirits.
All the lost and the left behind.
All the lost and the left behind.
Calling all you hungry hearts.
Calling all you hungry hearts.
Everywhere through endless time.
Everywhere through endless time.
Gather round and share this meal.
Gather round and share this meal.
Your joy and your sorrow, I make it mine.
Your joy and your sorrow, I make it mine.
All together now.
Calling all you hungry hearts, everywhere through endless time. You who wander, you who thirst, I offer you this Bodhi mind. Calling all you hungry spirits, all the lost and the left behind. Calling all you hungry hearts, everywhere through endless time. Gather round and share this meal. Your joy and your sorrow, I make it mine.
Okay, we'll stop there. So what did you notice while chanting that?
Well, it reminds me of chants I used to do in the Yogananda community that I used to be in. So the Hindu chant that's more heart-centered, devotion-oriented.
It felt more
devotional.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Your voice is very sweet. Sally?
This chant makes me feel so sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It pulls out a certain feeling. Did anybody else have that experience? And I want to sing it over and over again and just offer it. It just is a real offering energy that it brings up. So that's a third sample of chanting. You see, there's a lot of variation. But I'm hoping that out of this talk, out of this sharing, we can come to, as a Sangha, appreciate the chanting as a very lively part of our practice. And also it has an effect. It has an effect. One of the things that they laughed about at the monastery, not in a derisive way, but in a who would have thought, is whenever they do this chant at the season, it's around in the fall, it's a Sagaki time, right? Mm-hmm. Sagaki's in the fall. Halloween time, people show up at the monastery who are really in dire straits and need to eat, literally. So see what happens today. Somebody shows up at your back door who you know from long ago, and they say, "Oh, I'm so hungry. Would you give me something to eat?" then the next thing, so it invokes the spirit of comforting and of plenty and sweetness. So now I want to talk about Dharanis, because we chanted the Jizo Shingon, which is Om Ka Ka Kabisan Mae Soaka. We chant that 9 times through. And especially those who have just landed here today might wonder, what is this? These actually are, Dharanis are similar to a mantra. They tend to be longer. And they are not about meaning particularly, but they are about full embodied sound and concentrated intention. So the Jizo Shingon evokes the energy of Jizo, who has made a vow to help others awaken, to teach the Dharma, and to go into even the hell realms to help people who are really having trouble in whatever ways they need. So they vow, Jizo vows to awaken all beings in all of the 6 realms. And the 6 realms are human, devas, the gods, godlike realms, where everything is so wonderful that you never experience the need to inquire into your life. Hungry ghost realm, where you have an unquenchable hunger and nothing fills it up. And we all have that experience, perhaps, in some ways, various ways. The asuras, the angry gods, so the place where rage takes over, or anger takes over, or bitterness takes over. And what am I forgetting?
Hell?
Oh, the hell realms.
How could we forget?
Going into the hell realms. And we all have our own special ones, and we share a lot of the same hell realms. So the term Om Ka Ka Kabisan Mae Soaka, every syllable is a manifestation of the true nature of reality, which is empty. It's empty of self nature, empty of meaning. It's just itself coming forward, moment by moment, just as it is. Nothing added. Just sound. And because it's devoid of meaning, in the Zen way of expressing it, because it is devoid of meaning, it is saturated with meaning. The meaning of our entire existence and the existence we share with all beings. So the narrative mind cannot become involved, and it's just chanting. Okay, so let's chant the Jizo Shingon in our usual way, 9 times through.
Jizo Shingon.
I forgot to announce the page number. Page, what is it?
Good question.
Oh. Okay, everybody. Who can come up with it first?
19.
Page 19. Let's do it again so that everybody can join in. And you can picture, you know, sometimes I have the picture with the Jizo chant of being in a hell realm. And the chant is going out like a sweep of cool air in a hot realm, and it can reach all those who are ready to receive help. All those who are ready to emerge into their whole life, right? And everyone else given a bit of ease, a bit of ease. So you can kind of picture that if that works for you. Okay, let's try it again. Everybody join in. And wholehearted, let it out.
Jizo Shingo.
Om Kaka Samai Soka 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 Om Kaka Samai Soka.
So we're going to chant again the chant of boundless compassion, and I want to encourage everybody, and that's on page 28. I want to encourage everyone to really let it out. In some retreats, we chant this 108 times, and we begin extremely slowly. By the end, we're barely enunciating the words. We're going so fast, and people are screaming it.
Whoa.
So we're not going to do that, although maybe we'll try that at one of our retreats. We'll try that sometime. But just really let it out and feel the vibration in the head, the throat, the chest, the belly, the back, legs. Okay? Just really let that run through you. And how really letting yourself do that lets go of that self-consciousness that can gather, especially if you're not used to chanting, when you're chanting. Just, it's a chance to let go of it all and just let it out. So let's try that.
All the way through?
Yeah, let's do it three times.
Chant of boundless compassion.
Absorbing world sounds awakens a Buddha right here. This Buddha, the source of compassion. This Buddha receives only compassion. Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, just compassion. Thus the pure heart always rejoices in the light. Recall this in the dark. Recall this moment after moment. The true heart arises time after time. There is nothing but this. Absorbing world sounds awakens a Buddha. Recall this in the dark, recall this moment after moment, the true heart arises time after time, there is nothing but this. Absorbing world sounds awakens a Buddha right here, this Buddha, the source of compassion, this Buddha receives only compassion, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, just compassion, thus the pure heart always rejoices in the light, recall this in the dark, recall this moment after moment, the true heart arises time after time, there is nothing but this.
So reflecting on that experience now, anything anybody wants to say about that?
So in my other sangha, we always did the Enmei Juku Kanongyo, which is the original of that. We did it 9 times, increasing the speed till the end.
Yeah.
And the Kugyo would start out very slow and then
right.
We should try it. It's really neat.
Well, we'll do that another time. I want. Where are we with time? Yeah, we need to keep going here. So, and yeah, we do chant it. So 1 week we chant it in English, and then the next week we chant it in Sino-Japanese. And that's one reason why we do it in Sino-Japanese, to one, to learn it, because if we go to other groups, they also chant it in Sino-Japanese, but also to get out of the meaning part of it, and just do the sound part of it and the vibration part of it. So in the Lankavatara Sutra, there's this line that says, practitioners who cultivate the personal realization of Buddha knowledge dwell in the bliss of whatever is present and do not abandon their practice. So there again, we're dwelling in the bliss. There is a bliss taste, a bliss feel to being able to let go of everything except just this. And so that's the meaning of bliss in this context. So chanting is a whole and complete practice. We use it daily in our before or after our daily meditation to extend the field of benefit of our practice. It's not just an internal, it's not just for us, it's for all beings. And the energy of our awareness beyond our senses. So that's another thing to notice when you've been chanting, is the awareness extends beyond the senses. Look into that. Investigate that. What is beyond the senses? Is there anything beyond the senses? Is there anything beyond the senses? Is there anything beyond the senses? You can really look into that. And chanting is really useful if you're in a heavy feeling state. You're very excited or manic or anxious. Chanting is very helpful. Wholehearted chanting, diving into that. You may not be able to meditate. Meditate may just be it can be the door to hell if you're in a certain state of mind. So chanting, activity, pure activity. Immersing yourself in concentration in activity. So I'd like to finish now with the Shanti Deva's Way of the Bodhisattva. In our books, it's titled The Dalai Lama's Vow, page 83. And this has a tune to it. Some of you know it. So anybody who knows it, chant it with me one time through, and then everybody else join in once you've heard it. Dalai Lama's Vow. For as long as space endures, and for as long as living beings remain, so then may I to abide, to dispel the misery of the world. Two more times. For as long as space endures.